He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. It's a beautiful summer day.
Summer's a great time for getting to the beach and showing off that beautiful physique.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So hopefully we have done our due diligence and stayed true to the dietary principles that allow us to feel good and look good.
Yeah.
But isn't that why a lot of people work out? So
absolutely.
They can look good on the beach?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can look good on the beach. And a lot of people don't train as much in weight train in the summertime. They do more outside.
A lot more cardio.
Activity.
Running, swimming, inline skating, a lot of water sports. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to get into the gym and maintain the shape and the form.
Mm, absolutely. It sure is, dear.
So, what's cooking?
Well, like I said, with summer here, there's a lot of zucchini around, if you haven't noticed. And some of them are pretty big honking pieces of
zucchini.
Oh, yeah,
I've seen some real big ones.
I know. So, what I found, this is a perfect recipe for a summer dish. What it is sautéed zucchini and tomato.
Yummy.
Yeah, and you like this one.
Well, that was a really good one.
Yeah. What I do is I chop up a couple of medium onions and I sauté them in extra virgin olive oil, of course. And I add in uniform pieces. So the tomato and the zucchini are the same size. I add, we use about 12 plump tomatoes, maybe 3 medium-sized zucchinis. And I add some garlic powder and fresh grated garlic and some oregano. And I cover and simmer for a couple of hours. And it's amazing. This dish is excellent served over white fish, over chicken, over rice, or even pasta, and even just a side dish.
Very nutritional.
Yeah, and it's fresh. That's the beauty of it, too. But it even tastes even better when it's cold. So the beauty of it is it's very easy to make. It takes no time at all. Just chopping the zucchini, tomato, an onion, a little bit of garlic, and some oregano. That's it. And you put it in a saucepan, simmer it for a couple of hours, and you're done. And it's just so, you can have it plain on its own.
Well, I looked up my nutritional text and I wanted to see what was in zucchinis that made them so good. There's lots of minerals in there. If the soil is fertile, things like molybdenum and vanadium, things that help improve blood sugar and tolerance to glucose.
Mm.
So zucchinis are also low on the glycemic scale. The carbohydrates in them filter into the blood very, very slowly. And it actually improves insulin chemistry. It actually improves the health of the receptors on the cells. So zucchini has a lot of intrinsic value. It's not a food that has a lot of density, like it's mostly water. So this is one of the high water volume carbohydrate foods. You know, like how bread is very dense in carbohydrates and has no water. So zucchini would be an alkaline forming food also. But when you cook it, it tends to become more neutral. And, of course, the enzymes are lost as opposed to eating it raw.
Right, which we do. I make it with the dip, right?
We often have chopped up zucchinis raw.
Which is really yummy. I don't know if a lot of people do that.
Zucchinis.
Yeah, raw zucchini with a vegetable dip.
I don't often see zucchinis chopped up, but we do that.
Yeah, I think it's
good to bring in a lot of different vegetables, a whole variety. Make sure you get those colors.
Even the green peppers, the red peppers, the orange peppers, the yellow peppers, they're quite sweet. They're beautiful to eat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, most people don't eat that because I don't see that on a veggie plate. But the colors are quite a beautiful picture, isn't it?
Well, I also like zucchinis chopped up in circles and then it's like sautéed in some water and lots of garlic, maybe a little bit of extra virgin olive oil.
Well, I know how to do it. Where you
served with eggs is good too.
Yeah, you can roll it in eggs as well, and then fry it in olive oil. So I mean, I don't know how healthy it is, but it sure tastes good.
Well, whenever we fry anything, then we tend to liberate from the frying trans fats and peroxides that damage the food that also are absorbed by the food.
Of course,
we don't really want to fry food.
You really take the fun out of frying food, I'll tell you that.
Well,
right
you
now.
See these guys in these cooking shows, and they just fry the heck out of anything. They're almost unaware of what it is that they're doing. I don't know. You know, they all weigh like 800 pounds.
Well, they certainly do sample. They believe in their product, obviously.
Yeah, and of course, they kind of sidestep the whole fact that obesity and excess body fat is a disease.
Right.
So we're not trying to condemn or criticize. We just want to get away from not acknowledging how important food is and how it absolutely influences not just our weight and how much fat we've got, but the health of that weight inside
our
body.
Well, tonight we're going out to a very nice place for dinner, and we're going to have some really nice red wine. I don't know about you, but I am. And we're going to, it's a nice Italian restaurant. So, you know, we're going to go off the deep end just a little bit. Well, I am going to go off the deep end a little bit. So you never know really what you're getting in a restaurant. But everyday food that we eat is not something that I would cook like in these cooking shows. That's more if I go out on a limb if I have company for dinner. But I wouldn't want to eat like that. I'd be way too acidic.
Well, we are what we eat, what we don't eliminate, what we absorb and assimilate. So every meal adds up.
It's
at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the week and at the end of the month.
It
so
sure
you're
does.
Not just what you ate in one meal.
No.
But one meal can set the pace. And I do know from feedback that people tend to slide away from the best diet when they start opening the door.
Especially when people train, because I'm training some people, and they always don't feel good when they do legs. I don't know how many times this has happened to me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, but they swear they have this great diet and they're really well hydrated, but they always feel like puking when they do leg workout.
Well,
so what's going on?
Well, number one, the oxygen debt that's created is gigantic. You know, the muscles of the legs are the largest in the body. And free radicals are liberated through training in any way, shape, or form, but with intensity and with squatting and doing heavy leg presses, you're going to liberate more free radicals. And, of course, there's a connection with how much fat you've got in the body and nauseousness.
Yeah.
I find that leaner men and women who start off training tend not to be nearly as nauseous as people that are heavier set.
Not heavy at all. Lean.
Yeah. Okay. So then we've just got factors.
Lean. Yeah, exactly.
Lean. Okay. Factors that relate to how they diffuse oxygen efficiently and a very low, poor VO2 max, which is something you can measure through a fitness assessment. So that was a great, so what's cooking, dear? And let's hang on to the zucchini in our mind.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get into last month's special guest.
Well, last month's special guest was Mr. Ken Taylor. And we've known Ken for many, many years, and he's been a very close friend of yours forever, pretty much, a friend of the family. He was a teacher for over 30 years and became in the Hall of Fame as well. He really was a great interview because he knows the way kids think and he uses psychology on them to get the job done. And I like the way he used the analogy of money in different currencies to explain ATP.
Yeah, he's a really, really good guy. He's a guy that did it for the love of the game, and those are the people that are few and far between. Money was never an issue, although I would like to see high school teachers paid. They should be paid for the work they do for teaching and coaching.
He did it for years and years.
33
and
years. Unbelievable.
That he did for free, for hours.
And you know,
hours.
He's got a great sense of humor. Ken is a great friend, but I'll tell you a story about in high school once when I was on the track and field team, and it was coming down to the wire, and it was going to be a really close finish. The high school track and field championships were just around the corner. We had just gone through the preliminaries, and we had qualified, and our team was getting ready. And they called a special meeting just before the big day, the day before. And he gave everybody a little packet that we had to open. So we're all sitting at our desks in our school classroom. And we opened them, and then inside the packet was one of those little containers of jam that you get when you go to a restaurant. You know, when you're sitting at these little breakfast places, and they have these little peanut butter and jam packages. Anyway, the whole idea was that he was ensuring that we all had some jam. He said, because without any jam, you're not going to perform your best. You got to have the jam, right?
Oh, yeah. So, now, that's little things like that.
It was a psychological thriller, and it was humorous, and it was funny, and it gave some spice to our experience. And that is something that's greatly lacking.
Exactly. Just like a movie we watched last night with Michelle Pfeiffer in it called Dangerous Minds, about how she was a teacher and how she had to get these kids that didn't have any social values, were poor, no social etiquette whatsoever, and how she
it was a tough, bloody life.
Yeah, and how she psychologically would use chocolate bars. Well, that's not such a good thing. But she would motivate them by taking them to the...
Well, she came down to their level.
Came down to their level. She wore jeans. She talked in their language.
She didn't talk at them. She talked with them.
Right.
She tried to get into their heads.
She got into their lives as well.
She also put out. She went to their homes. She talked to their mothers and fathers. Yeah. You see, she got involved with their lives.
Yeah.
And she didn't think of them as anything less than... Than just
they were human
people.
Beings. They
Absolutely.
Were, like the other teachers just treated them like,
That was a great
kids.
Movie. It shows how kids will respond, how anybody will respond.
A little love and attention.
And you can bring them out of those.
So that's what Ken Taylor did. And he was very successful. So thanks, Ken, for that.
Okay, well, that's great. So let's have a look at who's coming. Who is our next month's special guest?
Next month, we have Mr. Sam Gracie, or in other words, Mr. Greens Plus. Sam has been in the health food industry for as long as I can remember. He is definitely a pioneer, and he is so full of energy that it is contagious.
Hello. You know, that guy is like a major hugger. One time he squeezed me so hard.
How hard did he squeeze you?
He squeezed me so hard that he popped one of the pimples on my nose.
Oh, that's disgusting. Anyway. So, Sam has written The Food Connection and The Power of Superfoods. And I've heard many times Sam's lectures, and he speaks to the audience in a fashion that's very easy to digest. He doesn't talk over their heads like some people I know, Corey. He is what I believe most of us should strive toward in this industry of health. He is a living example of health and vitality and always on the go, kind of like a never-ready battery, huh?
Yeah, Sam lives the life. He takes the stuff that he promotes using, and you can see that he gets the value from that stuff. It just flows out of him. When people use products that they promote and they get health as a result of it, pretty hard to argue with success. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a great interview because Sam is just bursting full of knowledge.
Oh, no kidding. We have to contain the room when Sam's here.
Okay.
Okay.
So what is, my dear, your hot topic?
Well, we were out the other day at the mall, and it's unbelievable the amount of people that were out on a Wednesday evening. We couldn't find a parking spot, and when we did, it was about 10 miles away from the store, right? You know how you always say everybody likes to park really close?
Well, it's a madhouse. You know, people are so terrified of moving and walking and exercising or expressing themselves that they'll just, you know, drive around for hours looking for the
closest
spot. Stall they can to the door. It's insanity.
Or else they're going to buy so much that they don't want to carry it to the car. Anyway, there was just so much to buy. There's so many different styles of the same thing. We were looking for vacuum cleaners, and come on, there must have been at least 40 different types of vacuum cleaners, huh? We were like, okay, where do we even start?
Well, there's quite a variety to choose from.
Just even a vacuum cleaner.
And I'll tell you, that's a real racket, that vacuum cleaner business.
No kidding.
You know, not only the vacuum cleaner, but then all the attachments.
I know.
The filters,
everything.
The bags.
Now get this. I go to buy a pair of pantyhose or a pair of nylons, and no word of a lie, there's at least 10 long rows of hose. Way too much choice. So, Arash, I go into a health food store and there's so much product on the shelf. I get so confused. And in any store, it's really overwhelming how much product there is on the market today. And it's not a wonder that the consumers get confused about what to buy. Washing machines, gloves, watches, anything like that. But we were out one night at a party, and it sounds like we're partying all the time, but we don't. But when we do, we do. I had a conversation with this friend of ours, and we were discussing the fact that every time you walk out of the house, you have to spend money, right?
It seems to be that
way. Right.
The world is set up for that.
So can you remember the last time you went out of the house and didn't spend a dime? Or a penny or a nickel. Most people I talk to can't do it. They have to have money in their pocket and they have to spend it. It's the most amazing thing. It's like an addiction. So we were chatting about this and we were saying, so let's try this exercise. Don't spend any money for at least 24 hours. which means don't stay in bed all day, or it's a bit different if you live on a farm, but I'm just
talking. Go about your daily business.
Go about your daily business. And I think you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. For people who live in the city or in the suburbs, just try it. Go out, walk around, window shop, take your lunch or eat before you go out. It's difficult not to spend any money. Now, you don't have to spend money in your pocket, but you can use a credit card. But still, that is spending money. This is an exercise, especially for women. No coffee, no juice, no giving money to someone who's begging for it. Just don't spend any money for 24 hours. Now, this is a discipline that needs to be reckoned with. And I challenge everybody who's listening to SNU to try that. Just try it.
It's a good exercise. And it reminds me, you know, when I do a dietary analysis, almost everybody eats sugar. White refined sucrose, white death. And so my challenge to them is along the same lines. For 24 hours, don't eat any sugar. And beyond that, then go for 3 days. And you'd be surprised at how few people can do this. Not eat any white sugar. Don't add any sugar to your coffee. Don't eat any pies, cakes, and cookies, any sweets. Don't consume any pop. Don't consume anything that has any added sugar to it. And it's really an eye-popping, mind-blowing exercise.
Because
you realize, man, I am really connected to white sugar, and no wonder I'm having so many health problems.
But take a look. I mean, we were at this party, and we asked everybody, and everybody said every time they go out, they spend money. Even if it's to go to Starbucks and buy a coffee, they always spend money. So,
well, there are cues. There are flashes. There are very, very subtle motivational factors that are thrown at us when we're driving our car, when we're listening to the radio, when we're watching television. It's all about buy this,
buy
that.
It's an addiction. It's definitely an addiction. I'm saying make sure you got enough food in your house, you've got groceries, you've got everything that you need, you know, and just try it and just see.
But you're saying that the actual process of sticking your hand in your pocket and exchanging your money for a service or substance is an addiction in itself.
Well, I really think that when you go out shopping, it creates want, even if you're just looky-looing.
Well, of course, that's the nature of the game.
It creates want.
That's where they want you to get inside the store
exactly.
So you can buy more stuff.
Exactly. So,
but what is that stuff really? Is it
necessary?
Do you
really? No.
Is it required?
How many times do you get it home and you say, I don't really need this, or you just keep it in the bag, or, you know, yeah. I mean, we're doing our pretty much our summer spring cleaning here. How many garbage bags of stuff did we throw out? And we gave to Big Brothers, and we gave to some kids down the street. Bagfuls and bagfuls of stuff, it's our junk, but which one man's junk is another man's treasure. But it's unbelievable the stuff that we accumulate that we really don't need
as a society.
Life. Yes,
generally speaking,
yes.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's funny that you're mentioning this and talking about money, because I'm reading a really, really great book, which I'd recommend to anybody out there. It's called Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. The author's name is T. Harv Eker. And I'll read you just a little bit from this thing, because it's really cool.
All right.
He says, money is a result. Wealth is a result. Health is a result. Illness is a result. Your weight is a result. We live in a world of cause and effect. He says, have you ever heard someone assert that a lack of money was a bit of a problem? Now hear this. A lack of money is never, ever, ever a problem. A lack of money is merely a symptom of what is going on underneath. Lack of money is the effect, but what is the root cause? It boils down to this. The only way to change your outer world is to first change your inner world. Whatever results you're getting, be they rich or poor, good or bad, positive or negative, always remember that your outer world is simply a reflection of your inner world. And you know, I just love that, because that ties in exactly to the same truism that we use as a principle in natural medicine. And that is, if you're not well, if you're not looking good, if you're not feeling good, if you're experiencing disease, sickness of any kind, it's because of what is going on the inner world, on the inside, and then beyond that, in the mind. Because the body is the servant of the mind, and it obeys the wishes. So, let's finish off, my dear, after your hot topic with your final words.
Okay, so I challenge everybody in SNU to try that for 24 hours. My final word is by Simone Weil, who was a French philosopher and a mystic. Attachment is the great fabricator of illusions. Reality can be attained only by someone who is detached.